Let's turn to Psalm 19. Our scripture text is taken from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father in heaven, indeed, our hearts are truly thankful and grateful to Thee for the wonderful salvation You have blessed us with. Indeed, Thou art so loving to send Thy only begotten and beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this world, to live with us, and as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, He was sacrificed on the cross, shedding His precious blood for the washing away of our sins. Lord, we pray that this morning You will cleanse our sins once more, that we might be washed and made clean, whiter than snow. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for Jesus who rose from the dead. And precisely because He lives, we live also and have eternal life. Our Father, truly Thou art good to us here in Singapore, for You have blessed our nation with peace and with prosperity. We have been spared the natural disasters that so many countries go through. We thank Thee that we have not experienced or gone through great floods, or drought, or famine, or earthquakes, or pestilences. You have sheltered us from all these things. And so, Lord, remind us each day as we live our lives that we should not forget to think of Thee and to thank Thee for Thy goodness towards us as a nation. And we pray, O Lord, for all our members of Parliament and Cabinet Ministers, how You may grant them the wisdom to rule this country. Surely You are the one who have placed them there. And so, Lord, may they govern this country with the fear of God in their hearts. pray, O Lord, that our Christian ministers in Parliament would bear a good testimony for thy name's sake, and to also share and witness the good news of Jesus Christ, that those who still do not know you in these high places may know Jesus and his salvation. Lord, we also thank thee for this church that thou hast established, and every single person that has come to worship you in this sanctuary. O Lord, we thank thee for the blessings we have received from thee, how you have kept us through all these months, and you have truly seen us through another year. We pray, O Lord, for the year to come, as this year is about to end and the new year is about to happen. We pray, O Lord, that we might occupy, keep ourselves busy until Jesus returns. There is so much to be done for thee, the good news that must be preached, and how the truth must be taught and also defended. Lord, may you help us, that truly we will reflect the true life that you have given to us. And Lord, we do ask that you might be very near and very close to those who are sick. We pray for Mrs. Rosalind Toh. We thank thee, Lord, that she has been discharged from hospital, resting at home, that she has no more symptoms of the illness that she has come down with, but still very weak. We pray, O Lord, that you will renew and restore her strength, that day by day she will get better and better, that you might raise her up so that she can serve you once again. We pray also for Dr. To Siang Pang, how you have blessed him with many more days to live. And we pray for many more days to come. We thank thee that he comes Sunday after Sunday to worship thee. As he has sought to honor thee, may you also honor him. For you have promised when we draw near to thee, you will draw near to us. And we pray also for the father-in-law of Dr. Chan Kee Him, who is suffering from colon cancer. We pray that you might heal him with thy mighty hand. And more importantly, we pray that you may heal his soul, that he might be saved, that he might believe on the Lord Jesus and be healed not just in body, but more importantly, in his spirit. We pray also for his wife, that they as a couple may come in due time to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We remember Elder Lim Kim Hee, Ms. To Soon Ai, Mr. To Siang Ling, for all of them, for those who are still not well. May you be especially close to them and comfort them by thy Spirit through thy word, and raise them up that they might continue to worship you and to serve you in this church. So Lord, we thank thee that you are our good shepherd and you care and provide for us in every way. We thank thee for the Far Eastern Bible College, and indeed you have brought us to a successful conclusion to the semester. We thank thee, Lord, that the students have worked hard, and we pray for each one of them now as they have a time of vacation, that they will spend their time meaningfully. And we pray for those who will return back to their home country to serve thee. We pray, O Lord, that you might use them mightily to preach thy word and to serve in their respective churches. And we pray, O Lord, for those staying back who will be serving you in one way or another in the churches they attend or in the camps that they will go to. Help them too. And we pray, O Lord, that you will bring all our students as well as new ones safely back in the new year when we begin our new semester. May you continue to protect and preserve this college to train and to prepare more and more faithful servants for thy great harvest field. We thank thee for our pastor and our principal, Reverend Timothy Toh. May you be with him even right now as he ministers thy word to the Faith Presbyterian Church. Grant him a double portion of thy spirit that he might declare thy truth in all fullness and in power, that thy people down under would be richly blessed. We pray also that you may protect him, that as he walk, he might not fall. So Lord, we pray for our pastor and Mrs. Toh. Be with them and bring them back safely to us. So Lord, we commit our time now into thy hands as we open thy word, speak to our hearts through thy truth, for thy word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message for this morning is entitled, God's Perfect Gift. Christmas is just around the corner, and Christmas is a time of giving. And I'm sure we are thinking of gifts to prepare and to give to our loved ones and to our friends. I'm sure we look forward to receiving gifts as well, not just giving. But how many of you can remember what gift or gifts you have received last year at Christmas time? Many a time, the gifts that we received do not last for very long. And we even forget what we have received. And even the gifts that we give, we forget what we have given. The gifts that come from men are temporary. But we are reminded of the good giver, the great giver, none other than God Himself, who has given us truly the perfect gift. He's a giver of good gifts. And His gifts last forever. God's perfect gift. True Life BP Church believes in the perfection of God. We believe in a perfect God who can do no wrong. His ways are perfect. And what is God, you might ask? Well, we have a good answer from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His wisdom, power, glory, goodness, justice, and truth. What a wonderful and powerful God we have, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise, all-present. And is this not good news to us? Surely it is good news. And we want to tell this good news to the whole world. And that's why we have made a gospel bookmark, which you find in your bulletin today, God's Perfect Gift, the one and only perfect God, living and true, in His perfect book, inspired and preserved without error, tells of a perfect Savior, fully God and fully man in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, to give to all who trust in Him perfect salvation of body and soul, both now and forever. And it's free. It is a free gift. And this bookmark serves also as a tract that we can give to others, our friends or the strangers, that they might know what this good news is. Now, what do these words mean? Today, we want to look into these words carefully and closely and to know what all these words mean. Firstly, we have a perfect God. And this perfect God is but one. We have but one and only perfect God. And when we say He is one and only, we are talking about His uniqueness. He is one of a kind. There's no one like Him. And not only is He one and only in terms of His uniqueness, is one and only in terms also of his number. There is but one God and only one. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, only one God, not many gods, but just one. All other gods are false. There's only one living and true God. Why are all other gods false and only the God of the Judeo-Christian faith is true, the God of the Holy Scriptures? All other gods are false because all other gods are created and made by man. All the idols that men worship, the idols are all made from man's hand, crafted from man's vain imagination. And they are made of wood and stone and clay, silver or gold, but nonetheless, they are dead objects. They have eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, mouth that cannot speak. Our God, the God of this Bible, is the true God because he is not a dead God. He is the living God. He is a God who is not created by our own hand. We are the ones created by him. He is our creator. And he is alive. He is a spirit, invisible. He is the invisible God. And he forbids us to make him into our image. We actually are created by God and created in his image. And that image is a spiritual image, not a physical one. And that's why God tells us, when we worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth, for he is spirit. So we have no idol in our sanctuary, in our church. There's no figurine that you can buy from the book table to bring home and worship before. No, we worship the invisible God, who sees all, who knows all, who is all present and all powerful. He is the one who has made us. And it is precisely because he is living. That is why he is true. For a dead God cannot be true. Only the living God. He is alive. He hears our prayers. He sees us. He knows each one of us. He is all present. And he is present with us right here. To receive the worship that we give to him. And he speaks to us as well. Through his word, we have the living and true God. And how do we know this living and true God? This God is not far away. Our Creator is not far away and so distant that no one can know him. No God can be known. And God desires for his creatures, for us, to know him. How do we know him? Well, we know him through his perfect book. So the one and only perfect God, living and true, tells us who he is in his perfect book. And here we read in verse 7 of Psalm 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect." What kind of book do we have? What kind of word and scripture do we have? Well, it is described right here as a perfect book. The law of the Lord refers to the word of God. All of scripture is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. The author of this book is none other than God himself. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, God breathed. It comes from the pure and clean breath of God, this book, this word. My teacher, Dr. John Wickham, has said, There are many books in this world. Millions of books written by man. And every book, every single book written by man is bound to contain mistakes, has weaknesses, has shortcomings, has errors. Because it comes from frail and weak and sinful creatures. Every book written by human beings, no matter how good, even though the book may be a classic, contains weaknesses, shortcomings, even mistakes. Only one book in the whole wide world has no error, no mistake. And that is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Because the author is not man. The author is none other than God Himself. And this book is not just one book. It's a library of books. Total of 66 books. 39 in the Old Testament. 27 in the New Testament. Written over the span of 1,500 years. By over 40 writers whom God inspired and breathed His words through His Spirit to pen all these words. Whether they be scientific words or historical words or geographical words or doctrinal words, all the words penned in this book is totally infallible, inerrant, no mistakes whatsoever. Because the author is one, and none other than God Himself. And please, don't let anyone tell you that this Bible, this book, was only infallible and inerrant, without mistakes, perfect in the past, but no longer today. That is absolutely not true. For we know that God not only inspired His Word 100% perfectly, He also preserved His words age after age, generation after generation, and will do so forever. This word that we have is 100% preserved as well. Psalm 12, 6-7 tells us, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them," that is, these words of Scripture, God's words, "thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Matthew 5:18, Jesus promised, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle, not one iota of the Scriptures shall pass away." Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for God's word, even to the last jot and tittle, to pass away. And as heaven and earth has been always existing, was there any time when heaven and earth stopped existing, disappeared, and then reappeared again? No, heaven and earth, since the beginning when God created, has always been existing. It's existing right now. And so is the Word of God, every word of it. The very moment it was breathed out, inscripturated, written down, it has been kept pure through the ages, always available, always accessible, always existing for God's people to read, to study, and to live by it. We believe in a 100% inspired and 100% preserved Scripture. So please don't let anyone tell you, you don't have God's perfect Word today. Perfect Bible only in the past, not in the present. That is a lie of the devil that causes us to doubt the Word of God. I know of a Sunday school teacher that taught his Sunday school class that those who say that a perfect God must give a perfect Bible, and we have it today, these people who teach like this are very proud and arrogant. Very proud. Very arrogant of a person to say that a perfect God
must give a perfect Bible. That's what he taught his students in class. He says, who are we? Who are we to demand and insist of God that a perfect God must give us a perfect Bible? We can say, we better humble ourselves and say, he may give us. We cannot say, he must give us. Are we proud and arrogant to say that a perfect God must give us a perfect Bible, that we have it today? No, actually, we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge him for who he is. He's such an all-powerful God that has kept the whole universe together intact from the very beginning. Surely he can keep his words pure and intact and preserved through all generations. We simply humble ourselves and say, Lord, you are powerful. And as you have inspired your words powerfully and perfectly, surely you are capable and able to preserve your words perfectly. Is it very proud and arrogant to tell God, God, a holy God, and if you are a holy God, you must be sinless? Of course, a holy God must be absolutely sinless, because God demands it of himself. Not that we demand it of him, he demands it of himself. For that is precisely who he is. So a perfect God must give a perfect Bible. And we have it today. And so we say, the one and only perfect God, living and true, in his perfect book, inspired and preserved without error, 100% inspired, 100% preserved. And what does this book tell us? It tells us of a perfect Savior, who is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's through him that we find salvation. And it's only through this book we know of this Savior who can save us from our sins. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. No book can change your life like the Bible can. The Bible is a powerful book that changes lives. And that's the very reason why we have a Bible college. Those who want to serve the Lord full time, who want to be a minister of the gospel, a preacher of God's word, must all study, and study very hard, for 3, 4 years, or even more, so that they might know the holy words of God from the scriptures, and be his mouthpiece to declare faithfully the words of God. Not our own words, men's words, can never change lives. Only God's words can. And this is something we have experienced for ourselves. Have we not? Our lives have been changed. Is your life changed because of men's words? Has your life been changed by men? No. Our lives have all been changed by God and his word. And we know him, our Savior, through this word. And who is this perfect Savior? None other than God who became man. John Calvin says, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior, is 100% God and 100% man in one person. As 100% God, he represents God himself. As 100% man, he represents us and has become our substitute. God with us, Emmanuel. And Jesus lived a perfect life on earth. From day one, from the day he was born. And for over 33 years, he lived his life on this earth. And he kept the 10 commandments for you and for me. So that he might earn the righteousness that we need to enter into heaven. God says, be holy as I am holy. How to be holy as God is holy? Can we do it by our own effort? We cannot. We have broken the commandments of the Lord. But God demands, you want to enter into heaven, you must be holy as God is holy. So we cannot be holy on our own. Somebody must be holy for us. And Jesus Christ lived that holy, perfect, sinless life for us. He was tested and tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. So that when we say and we confess our sins and ask Jesus, Jesus, please save me, Jesus will clothe us with his coat of righteousness. Not our own righteousness, our holiness that can get us into the presence of God, but the holiness of Jesus Christ that we are clothed with, white and clean. And then God receives us to himself. And then finally, as a lamb without spot and blemish, the sinless Lamb of God, he was sacrificed on the cross. The nails went through his hands and his feet, and blood was shed for us. Precious blood that washes all away all our sins. And then finally, he was buried. He truly died, was buried on the third day. He rose from the grave. So we don't have a dead Savior. We have a living Savior. And the cross, the Christian cross, is an empty cross. Not like the Roman Catholic cross, which has Jesus still hanging there. That depicts a dead Savior. We don't have a dead Savior who is still on the cross. He was taken down from the cross, buried, but on the third day he rose from the grave. In the self-same body. And he appeared to the disciples in flesh and in bones. And they saw him. They handled him. They touched him. And now he has ascended to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, on his throne, at his mercy seat, interceding for you and for me. So that when we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, Jesus will apply his precious blood, the blood he shed, to wash away all our sins and make us his child. So we have 100% God and 100% man in one person, Savior in Jesus Christ. And this perfect Savior has given to us perfect salvation. For in verse 14, we read that our Lord is our strength and our Redeemer. God cannot fail. Once we have placed our trust in Him and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not by good works that we are saved. We have no good works to offer whatsoever. We are saved purely by the good works of Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not even faith comes from you. Even this faith is God's gift to us. When we say we believe, it is God giving us the faith to believe on Him. And when we believe and we are regenerated, born again, and become a child of God, once God has saved us, He is so strong and so powerful. He is our Redeemer, and He cannot fail to redeem us from beginning to end. Once He has saved us, He will keep on saving us until we finally get to our destination, which is heaven itself. That's why we say, once saved, always saved. Not because we are good, not because we are able, not because we have strength. No, we are very weak. We are prone to fall. But God is strong. We fail Him many a time, but God never, never fails. God never fails in what He does. And when He has saved us, He will not fail to save us to the very end. Whenever God takes an exam or a test, how many marks will He score? Of course, He will always get A. Now, in FEBC, students who score 94 to 100, it is an A. Right? An A can be 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Still A, even though you miss one mark, still an A. Though it's not 100. But insofar as God is concerned, when He gets an A, it's always 100 marks. Never 99. God never fails. Insofar as our salvation is concerned, He, as our Redeemer, is so strong and so powerful that He will save us to the very end. And no one, not even Satan himself, can pluck us out of His hand, because no one is more powerful than God. So what a wonderful message we have today for the world. And for you today who are still outside God's kingdom, you have come into this church, you are seeking the truth, you want to know, who can save me from my sins? Well, you are here not by chance. God has brought you here to listen to this good news. For we have a perfect God, the creator of heaven and earth, and there's only one, living and true. And in his perfect book, which Sunday after Sunday, we have been expounding, explaining. From this perfect book, we find this perfect Savior, fully God and fully man, who died for our sins on the cross, was buried on the third day, rose from the grave. And when we believe on him, say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I cannot save myself. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. You are my hope. You are my strength. You are my help. You are my redeemer. God will redeem. God will save. And God will save us forever. Perfect salvation he gives. This is the perfect gift. We'll never be lost. One day we'll be in heaven. And not only forever in heaven in future, but right now, even as we live our life on earth, our life is very meaningful. Our life has changed. We find the peace and the joy and the happiness that only God can give. This world is a bad news world. You open the papers, page after page, death and disasters and fightings and wars and all kinds of wicked things being done in this world. We are living in a sin-cursed world. And despite living in a sin-cursed world with all its difficulties, all its troubles, all its hardships, all the pressures and stresses of life, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this strength within us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. He guides us into all truth. He gives us wisdom. We know why we are here. We know where we have come from. We know where we are going. And if we want to know the future, we can know the future. If you want to know the future, please don't go to the horoscopes. Anyone here still reading horoscopes? Don't read anymore. They don't tell you the truth. Don't go to the fortune teller. Don't go and read your palms, or read the features of your face, or read tea leaves. All these will not tell you the truth. You want to know the future, you read from the scriptures. And the scriptures have a whole lot to say about future events and future things. This Bible is a prophetic book. And one out of every four verses is prophetic. One quarter of the Bible speaks of the future. And there are many prophecies that have already been fulfilled. Prophecies about the first coming of Christ was fulfilled hundreds of years before Jesus came. And Jesus indeed came in fulfillment of all the prophecies spoken of him in the Old Testament, that he should come. And he has already come. And we know there are many prophecies concerning Christ's second coming. And we know that all these prophecies will also be fulfilled to the last minute detail. Do you know about the future events, what the Bible says about our future, about our world today and what it will become? Well, you ought to know. And if you want to know, well, right now in Sunday school, the adult Sunday school, which meets every Sunday, Lord's Day at 9:15 a.m., we are studying now, we are beginning to study the doctrine of the end times, the last days. And I would urge all of you, since you come to church and you come at 10:30, why not make it 1 hour earlier? Come and take the Sunday school class. Learn what the Bible has to say about the future. How God will protect us and preserve us even until the end, when this world will be destroyed one day. Well, how is God going to save us from the destruction to come? Do you know how? What will happen to us when God comes to destroy this world by fire one day? Do you want to know? Well, I'll see you next Sunday. 9:15, come and we are dealing with end time events. And once you know this truth, how it will make you free. Surely we have this blessed hope. And many a time we feel so hopeless and helpless, dejected, because why? We don't know God's word enough. So that the Spirit cannot use all the hopeful words of the Scriptures to encourage our hearts. Come and learn from the words of hope, all these predictions and prophecies of the Scriptures that will give us this hope and make it very clear. Some of us may know, but it is not very clear, not very sharp, what will happen, well, roughly like this. Don't have this kind of vague idea of what will happen. Have a very, very sharp understanding. This involves, of course, coming to study God's Word. And we want to study God's Word very, very carefully. So come, perfect salvation. Yes, God will save us, even in the end times, when the world will get worse and worse. We can be happier and happier because of God's promise. Perfect salvation He has promised us and has given to us. Even right now, Jesus says, you believe on me, I will give you life, and life more abundantly. Not just eternal life in the future, but abundant life right now. So if I were to ask you, how's life? How would you answer? Many a time when people ask us, in the form of greeting, how's life? How would we answer? Okay. Well, that is not the Christian answer, you know. The Christian answer is, how's life? It must be what Jesus said. Abundant. Abundant life. Are you experiencing the abundant life right now? Well, not just in happy times, but even in difficult times, you can say, I have abundant life, because you know who you have believed in. And you know how to live your life despite all the pressures, the difficulties, and the stresses that life presents itself in this sin-cursed world. So I pray you may have abundant life now and eternal life in the future. The only way, believe in this perfect God, believe in this perfect book, believe in this perfect Savior, who gives to us this perfect gift of perfect salvation. That is the only way. And that is precisely what this church believes in. And this good news we want to tell the world. We cannot keep quiet. May the Lord help us to truly believe. And those who have yet to believe, please believe today. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art our perfect Father who gives us perfect gifts from above. For every good and every perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights. And Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness. You love to give us good gifts, and we want to trust in You day by day. So give us day by day our daily bread. Help us to walk by faith, not by sight. Help us to love You more and more each day with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. So help us, Lord, to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. For this we do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.